Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday Take. Today is April 12th, 2026. It's tax week, so we all have that on our minds. And the legislature continues to trudge along. Picking up pace on the parallel is the campaign season. Starting to see TV ads running in legislative races from outside groups. Looking forward to finance reports and federal races this week. And of course, what can get done during the legislative session. As leaders returned this week, many of them said it feels different this year. Why does it feel different? Well, A, you have a speaker running for governor. That's going to change some of the dynamics in the House that is tied on what can get done and how things navigate. Do you leave an issue out there because you think it's good for the campaign? Do you amplify an issue like Republicans did on tax cuts this week so that your candidate for governor, your preferred candidate for governor, can lean into that? Those change the discussions and debates. One of the other issues that continues to come up that I work on for full transparency is sports betting. I think there'll be some news this coming week on it, but it's popular with the public. But will legislators take action? And that is the conversation I had with somebody this week on the issue of transgender athletes in sports. It can be popular, but is it popular at the ballot box? That's the difference on so many of these issues that have populist support, but may not be a top tier issue for voters. They're not going to necessarily just go to the ballot box for that or change their vote from one candidate to another from that. And I think that's a dynamic we'll continue to watch this year as we ramp up in our election coverage. Getting ready to schedule some of those debates. We have nailed down the Farm Fest debates. We'll have the governor and the Senate on the Wednesday, the first week of August. That's just before the August primary. So you'll have a competitive Senate race. You'll have potentially competitive governor's races. And we'll have debates from Farm Fest. More to come on the debate schedule and the discussion schedule as we go. But this week's topic is education. It's not a budget year, but it is an election year. And you know education will be talked about. Could there be a statewide constitutional amendment on education? It sure sounds that way. And our guest this week will discuss it. We have Republican Representative Ben Bakeberg and DFL Senator Mary Kunish, as we do a deep dive in what policy tweaks are they looking at in education and for our schools this week. I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take. When we come back, Representative Ben Bakeberg, a school administrator and state house member.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
First guest this week is Representative Ben Bakeberg. He's a school administrator. He's a Republican and obviously cares deeply about education. And he joins me now on Sunday Take. Representative Bakeberg, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we've been doing these bipartisan, bicameral conversations on big issues. And education is always, you know, a big talker. It's a big issue. Minnesota is an education state, but it's not a budget year, so people may not think about education. What are the top kind of education policy issues that you're focused on this year in the session?
Yeah, great question. There, you know, funding is always an issue. As I'm talking to my education colleagues, whether they be teachers, whether they be paras, fellow administrators, school board members, funding is always an issue. And really it's funding flexibility and how we use the funds that are allocated from the state or from a local levy and having the flexibility to be able to meet the local needs. That is really the number one issue that I consistently hear from my colleagues. Like, just very simply, Ben, just trust us to manage our budgets at the local level. We are locally elected school boards. The needs of Prior Lake are very different than the needs of Pequot Lakes. So that's really the big thing that I hear is funding flexibility, mandate relief, and local control.
One of the things we have heard about is flexibility and mandate relief. Are there specific mandates that are consistent across the state that people want relief from?
Paid family medical leave is a significant financial piece to schools, but it's also just a human factor. And that's often what is lost in some of these conversations about some of these labor mandates that are on not only on our schools, but our cities, our counties, and our small businesses. But how to backfill, and specifically when you're thinking about education, you know, we invest a ton of time and energy and resources into professional development of our staff. And then when that teacher isn't in front of teaching the kids, kids aren't getting the best education that they could be. So so those labor mandates, one of them that I'm particularly really concerned or have been concerned about and talked a lot about is the K-3 discipline mandate, not allowing principals to hold kids accountable to suspend kids. And, you know, the people that pushed that legislation, you know, they said that there's a significant disparity in students of color being suspended, which there was, but every time, and there continues to be, and every time that I, as a principal, suspend a kid, I have to enter that information, that data, into a system called DERS. And instead of trusting our local schools, we just did in 23, we passed a blanket mandate that took that tool, that last resort tool for principals, off the table. And what that was used for is to build a plan to support the student who is struggling. And it was principals, it's a last resort. They're trying to meet the needs of the kid and they're doing all kinds of interventions. But when you take that tool out of the toolbox, you're tying the hands. And then now what we're seeing is, you know, in the Senate, Anoka Hennepin testified about an increase in work comp claims from teachers, from staff that are being injured by kids. Classrooms are being cleared out and kids are losing instruction. So that one doesn't show up on the bottom line on a spreadsheet, yep. But it is starting to show up in work comp claims. So it's having a significant impact. And, you know, we're going to hear a bill about school safety on Tuesday. And this is one of the provisions. And I promise you, there will be a number of people that line up to testify against this. And they will tell stories that happened years ago about lipstick or chapstick and, you know, individual things that happened. And we can't be legislating based off of things that happened years ago. We need to be legislating to the reality of what's happening to our schools today.
It's interesting you bring up the discipline point. I think my listeners have heard before that, and certainly if any of my teachers are listening, which occasionally they are, I was one of those kids, especially in elementary school, that tested the boundaries, we may say. maybe it turned out okay in my professional life, but I certainly needed some guidance and some direction in third through sixth grade. And I hear about it in the community that I live in. You know, I have two kids who went to public school through eighth grade, one public school through 12th grade, and discipline became an issue. Talk about just what that means on a school's culture and what it means for administrators and teachers, not just to do their job, but to want to stay in the profession?
That's a great question. So, retention is a huge deal, and educators feeling supported. We just had a hearing about a base pay and statewide insurance for teachers earlier this week, and you know, pay and insurance are factors, but what I hear from teachers is they feel a lack of respect. The profession isn't in held in the same status as it once was. And then you couple that with the teacher being sworn at, yelled at, hit, assaulted, as they're teaching math class, you know, people frankly can go do other jobs and make more money. So yeah, it is a huge deal. It also creates a tension between teachers and administrators when principals feel like their hands are tied and they're not able to hold kids accountable. And then, well, where do we send the kid? Because budgets are strapped. I mean, we had a $430 million cut to education. We have $250 million coming in a cut from the Blue Ribbon Commission coming up. And what I consistently hear is, well, you administrators just need to handle it. Well, where are we supposed to house kids when they're dysregulated? It's not what's best for the kids. It's not what's best for the school. And then, and you hit the nail on the head, Blaise. What I'm now starting to hear is that families are choosing to leave our public schools because of the climate. They don't feel as safe from a behavior standpoint of their kids.
Let's pivot. You brought up funding. There's a couple ideas on the table, including a modernization in the permanent school fund that could be a new a constitutional amendment. Funding will no doubt be a campaign issue. It is in an education state. We have an open governor's race. We have a teacher leaving the governor's office. So let's just say that there might have been a little bit of a hand up as a teacher running for governor talking about education. But talk to me about where the funding constraints are when the budget is tighter than it has been for a number of years. The surplus isn't there and the outlook is showing, you know, some structural challenges. Where are some funding opportunities for schools that could, you know, either put more money in the classroom or direct more money where it needs to be?
That's a loaded question. And I really look at it as three different buckets. So we could look at reprioritizing dollars that are already allocated. So to give you a couple examples, we have the agency budgets, the Department of Education budget has increased over the last two bienniums. They have an $8 million carry forward just within the Department of Education budget. And then I've heard different estimates, but across all state agencies, just the carry forward is near $1 billion with a B. So you look at priorities. We could reprioritize just the carry forward and not have any impact on taxpayers. There's discretionary riders that MDE has of about $4 million. When DCYF, the Department of Children, Youth, and Family, was stood up, the work went to DCYF, but the funding stayed with the Department of Education, and that was about $3 million. And the biggest fear that schools have is, what is the Blue Ribbon Commission going to recommend? So last year, in order to get the budget passed, the governor proposed and pushed a $250 million cut to special education. And we need to address the increased cost in special education. This Blue Ribbon Commission cut is a terrible idea, in my opinion. You don't force cuts to special education on the backs of cuts to schools. We figure out how we prioritize things and have efficiencies, obviously, but you can't. This is just not the way to do it. And we actually are going to hear a bill on Tuesday to repeal it. And we could reprioritize funds across state budgets in order to do it. So, but the kicker of the Blue Ribbon Commission, the part that was most maddening to me, and it's a smaller dollar amount, I'll give you that, but there's a $125,000 admin fee that the department demanded in order for them to coordinate the Blue Ribbon Commission in order to cut the 250, in order to find the cuts for the $250 million in cuts to schools. So they initially agreed, you know what, we'll just absorb that $125,000. And then at the end of negotiations said, nope, surprise, we're gonna continue to cut more from schools. You know, and you talked about the school permanent trust fund. We could double that. Chair Kunish and Representative Igo are the authors of that bill. That's just a common sense way to double the school trust land dollars without it costing taxpayers a dime. You know, there were some concerns brought up within the House that need to be worked out and discussed. But that's a common sense way to provide some more flexible funding to our schools. You know, the SGO, the federal tax credit. Now, that's not a direct fund to schools, yeah. But we could get creative as school districts to create a scholarship granting organization that would be able to offset some of the different costs within our schools. And all that the governor has to do is opt in. And then we have a bunch of one-time funds that we could utilize. There's $100 million sitting in the housing account that never got spent. There's, you know, $70 million in debt service on the state office building. We could look at those funds. I mean, you have the train dollars that were reprioritized by the DFL last year to pay for UI for hourly workers. Yep. Well, we could reprioritize the rest of those dollars for school safety. So there are dollars that yes. we could reprioritize. We could give significant tax increases or tax. Not increases. I'm not for that. Tax cuts to our communities. We could lower car tab fees, and we could help our schools with the financial burden that they're in as well.
As we close here, just as you talk about reprioritizing the funding and prioritization, when you talk to your colleagues, I think you know there's so much noise out there on so many issues, whether it's car tab fees or school security or school safety, things like that. When you talk to your colleagues, both Democrat and Republican, as a school administrator, what are the key things you want them to know and what are the questions they ask you?
The key things that I want them to know is that there are very different needs in very different communities. So we need to trust our locally elected school boards, our local administrators, and our local teachers to be able to manage their classroom, their school, and their district the best way that they see fit for their local needs, because they're the ones closest to the community and most responsive to the needs of the community. So I continually talk about funding flexibility, mandate relief, and local control. And and then your second question was, what was your second question? Just so I answer it.
My question is what you want them to know and what do they ask you about the school system we have right now?
And then what they consistently ask is what can we do to support our schools? Okay. Like how can we support our schools? What are some things that we can do? And unfortunately, sometimes we get more caught up in what's better for adults than it is what's better for kids. And that's probably the most frustrating thing in education, because I mean, all of us that are in education, we go into education for that light bulb moment. You're working with a kid that just isn't getting it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off and the kid gets it. Yes, we need to pay our teachers. We need to pay our educators. 100% agree with that. But educators go into education because they love and they want to serve kids. And we need to remember that. And we need to get back to respecting that profession for the service that they do to our communities.
Representative Bakeberg, thanks for joining me on the Sunday Take.
Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure.
When we come back, Senator Mary Kunish on the DFL view and what else is possible this session. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
We are back on Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson, your host. Joining me now is Senator Mary Kunesh. She is the chair of the Education Committee in the Senate and also has some thoughts and ideas, even though it's not a budget year, what can be done about education and how education could be on the ballot statewide this year. Senator Kunesh, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me here.
It's not a budget year, but, you know, Minnesota is an education state and education is talked about a lot. And we continue to hear from local districts, from Education Minnesota, about some of the strains on funding and some issues in schools. What in a non-budget year are you hoping to get across the finish line this legislative session?
Well, there are three things I would say are my priorities. And the first one is an adjustment or moderation of the compensatory aid. We know that it is costing our districts a disproportionate amount of money to support our most needy kids, but it is also, in a way, unsustainable. And so we have some plans to address that. We would like to provide some school safety funding for the schools. And then the third thing, and this is what I'm most excited about, and I hope people will get really excited about this, is that I have a bill, Senate File 3593, that proposes a constitutional amendment to modernize how Minnesota manages and distributes earnings from the Permanent School Fund. And this is a fund that has been generated by our school trust dollars or lands since we became a state. And a lot of that comes from mining dollars, and a lot of it comes from timber dollars back in the day, some of the fees that folks pay for on public land. But this amendment would take the corpus of that permanent school fund and shift it from an interest and dividends only model to a percent of market value. And then it would also statutorily align that distribution, those calculations, with the constitutional update. And it will go to the voters on this next ballot, November 2026. And hopefully it will happen, and it will basically double the amount of money per pupil that goes to our students from the Permanent School Fund. At no cost, at no cost to the taxpayers. I mean, this is a total win-win situation.
Representative Bakeberg talked about that as well and talked about how it has broad bipartisan support. It wouldn't cost any additional funding from taxpayers. Why hasn't this been thought of before? And when was the last time this formula was modified?
It's never been modified since 1858 when we became a state.
Wow.
And they established the permanent school fund and identified the school trust lands here in Minnesota. So after when Minnesota became a state, all the states west of the Mississippi have had this, where the federal government allocated X amount of lands to each state and said, you are responsible for using these dollars to generate public education dollars. And so many states have sold it all off and are generating nothing. Minnesota still holds quite a bit of land found on reservations, mostly north of the Twin Cities in the Iron Range, because that was where, we could generate the most amount of money. So it hasn't changed since 1858. And why hasn't it is a really good question. I think people have been very sort of nervous or apprehensive to start messing with it, you know, but and it wasn't growing as fast as it has in the last 10 years. And so the task force that we created last year really looked at this to see, are we using these resources in the best way? And how can we generate more dollars that aren't going to cost the taxpayers for our students?
When you think about A, why it hasn't happened, but B, the idea that we would have a statewide ballot question on the Constitution about education that has bipartisan support. Does that feel like a different way of tackling some funding issues than maybe the way it gets handled or kind of battled out at the legislature?
I think so. This committee, the Permanent School Fund, it is a subcommittee. Yep. We meet very rarely because we don't have legislation to pass. And it is truly a bipartisan little committee that we have. Representative Igo is the vice chair. I'm the chair. He's carrying the bill in the House. I'm carrying it here in the Senate. And so it's actually like the perfect bipartisan topic as well as opportunity to work together. And I think it's provided a really good opportunity to work together.
One of the issues you brought up was school safety. It's on the minds of Minnesotans a lot, especially after the Annunciation shooting. It seems partisan the way it gets covered, but my sense is that there's some bipartisan ways to look at school safety without it being a partisan issue. What are you working on to make sure that there are some resources for Minnesota schools?
Sure. So when it comes to school safety, and again, as you said, after the murders at Annunciation, I think Minnesotans really wrapped their hearts and their arms around all of our schools, including our non-public schools. And legislatively, we are responsible for funding public schools. And there are some dollars that go to non-public schools. The bill that I have proposed does include dollars to non-public schools, which is very rare because, you know, our responsibility is to public schools. But the bill that I have would allocate some dollars to non-public schools, of course, additional dollars to our charter schools and other schools as well. And this is an issue that we all care about. And we just need to, you know, in a year where we don't really have extra funding to go around, if we can eke some dollars out just to let folks know that we really are thinking about and caring about what has happened, and we do care about the safety of all our children.
What kind of safety funding and what kind of ideas are there, either technology-wise or investment-wise, that our schools are looking to use these kinds of funds for?
You know, it's really unique to the schools and the school districts. I visited some schools who have huge windows in the classroom, which you think is just lovely. But in this day and age, it actually makes people very uncomfortable. And there were schools that where teachers went out and purchased fabric and created curtains for their rooms that now do not meet fire code, and they had to take them down. To put some kind of protective window covering is, you know, astronomical for costs. I mean, something as simple as window coverings. There's that would also be able to use for SROs, for mental health supports. There's a number of different ways they could use those dollars, and we tried to keep it as flexible as possible.
One of the other issues that Representative Bakeberg brought up and other people have is that some of the districts, depending on the part of the state, the type of school, the setting, would like more flexibility in funding. Are there policy tweaks that could be done to help schools use finances differently this session, or do you think that's going to have to wait till a budget year?
We have a few bills that are like, we call them no-cost bills, where mm-hmm. schools come to us and say, we have you know, a pretty healthy budget balance in this budget. Could we shift it over to that one? If these are dollars that are federally, or, you know, like co-mixed with federal dollars or are directly from the federal government, we can't make a change to that at all. And so we're hoping to, there's a couple of school districts that have asked to move those dollars around, and I'm happy to do that. You know, I was a teacher for 25 years, yep. and I really do understand the struggle of finances in these schools, both professionally, academically, personally, and then now legislatively. And so we have tried to do our best to allow for those kind of flexibility where there's ability to do that. At the same time, we have, again, that fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the dollars that either are brought in through referendums or those sort of things, levies, are used for what they were promised. And, you know, there has to be accountability, especially in this day and age when we see misuse of dollars. It is our responsibility to make sure that those dollars go to where they're supposed to go and they're used in the best way.
My guest is Senator Mary Kunis. She's the chair of the Senate Education Committee. We're talking about education this week on the Sunday Take. As we wrap, Senator Kunis, one of the other issues that I hear about, my kids aren't that far out of school. They're both in college now, is student behavior. And I know there's a hearing this week. Where does this fall in what the legislature could do on student behavior, should do? And is this something that you hear more about from parents, teachers, or the community more and more, or is it overamplified?
No, I think we have heard for a long time, and I certainly experienced it. I'm only retired now for about 5 years, experienced violence and mental health issues with our students. And the bill that I think the hearing that you're talking about deals with seclusion rooms, which is a really tricky subject because there are people that feel that there is a role for seclusion rooms in schools. And then there are a wide breadth of people that feel absolutely not ever. Let's make sure there are other resources available. So the hearing that we'll hear, we're going to hear from a wide array of people. And I certainly am not going to make any decisions at this point because we don't know what the best recommendation is at this point. Again, there was a task force that looked into this, and the recommendations are unclear to me. As they are. And so this is something that we'll start talking about, we'll look at right now. And then I'm sure we don't want to make any rash decisions. It'll be something that we'll have to take some time and energy to really think through and meet with all the stakeholders to ensure that we do make the right decision.
Senator Kunis, I really appreciate you joining me on the Sunday Take, and I know we'll talk down the line.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, this week's take. Welcome back to Sunday Take. This week's take is about schools, naturally. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I was not the greatest elementary school student that teachers would have wanted, but it was teachers and behavior programs that got me on track. Mr. Johnson, Ms. Comer, they deserve some credit for leaning into me and making sure that I focused my energy in the right direction coming out of elementary school. Look, Minnesota has prized public schools. We've had 7 years as a teacher for governor. But it is one of many topics that is emerging for this conversation we're going to have about the future of Minnesota this year. That conversation will naturally occur in the governor's race. Now, sometimes it'll be overly simplified of who's the favorite and where are we at. But we have to dig into the issues, and education is one of them. You heard both Senator Kunish and Representative Bakeberg talk about the issues with behavior in school. That's one of the things we have to figure out. And it is a community problem, or it is a societal problem, that our teachers deserve respect. Our kids should go to school, behave the way they are, and much of it is mental health. Or just a lack of somebody leaning in and finding the right way to guide these kids. There's no doubt that education's more complex, but the same basic goal is there. Let's prepare kids for their future. Let's make sure that they're literate. Make sure that they can be contributing members of society. As we age as a state and we have fewer students, it's going to be more of a challenge to find priority in our schools when budget pinches on education are going to continue. The idea of a statewide constitutional amendment, which I need to learn more about, is really curious. I think the best part of it is it means we're going to have a statewide conversation on education. This will be one of the things that people will discuss and try to understand that they're going to vote on. And it'll be interesting to see who throws money behind the yes side and if anybody, throws money behind the no side. But ultimately, if this is not the year for statewide education conversation debate and a vision from the governor candidates down through legislative candidates for how to get Minnesota back as a top 5 to 10 education state that keeps their kids here for college and recruits and retains and attracts our future workforce, it will be a missed opportunity. I'm Lois Olson. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 all week. You can sign up for the newsletters at thedailyagenda.com. I hope you enjoy a sunny, warm, even humid day. I'll be watching the Masters. I just don't know if I'll do it inside or outside. Until next week, that's Sunday Take.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.